Maybe the most dangerous thing that has crept in at Christmas time is not some long-forgotten pagan superstition, but the obsessive focus on materialism and gift-giving. Now that we have discussed Christmas, we can take some of the groundwork we laid and examine the rest of the holidays. Next, we'll take a look at Easter. But before we do, I want to talk about perception. Coming from a messianic home, we did Passover and not Easter, and we were turned off by some of the superstitious roots of Christmas. But let me tell you something I've learned along the way. Those of us that have decided to forego celebrating both Christmas and Easter must realize what this sounds like to other Christians. When we proudly declare to them that we do not celebrate Christmas and Easter, what this tells them is that we do not celebrate either Messiah's birth or his resurrection, and it could even portray, as I have personally experienced, that we do not even believe in Yeshua as the Son of God and the Messiah. Therefore, it is imperative that we are careful in how we communicate these things. Easter Sunday today celebrates the resurrection of Yeshua, yet both Jewish and Gentile believers originally celebrated Passover as the time of Messiah's death and resurrection. This is supported through the Quarto Decimum controversy in the early church. Although at a very early stage of church history, the celebration of Easter began to be celebrated by some on the first Sunday after Passover, others, especially in Asia Minor, insisted on it being celebrated according to the Jewish practice on the 14th of Nisan. That is, they were observing Passover. This observance was advocated by the Bishop Polycarp and was believed to have been transmitted through the Apostle John. As the church at large began to adopt Sunday practice instead, the Quarto Decimans, those who observed the Passover date, separated into their own sect, which existed up until the 5th century. The Council of Nicaea in 325 CE officially declared that the resurrection celebration would only happen on the first Sunday to follow the full moon after the spring equinox. This put Easter consistently between March 22nd and April 25th. Eusebius gives an account of this in his Life of Constantine. The commemoration of the most sacred Paschal feast being then debated, it was unanimously decided that it would be well that it should be everywhere celebrated upon the same day. It was, in the first place, declared improper to follow the customs of the Jews in the celebration of this holy festival, because, their hands having been stained with crime, the minds of these wretched men are necessarily blinded. Let us then have nothing in common with the Jews, who are our adversaries. Thus, the divorce between Passover and the celebrations of the resurrection. So where did the name Easter come from? We can only speculate. The most popular theory comes from the writings of St. Bede, the 8th century Christian scholar. The Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church writes, "The derivation of the name Easter is uncertain. According to Bede, it is connected with an Anglo-Saxon spring goddess, Istra. At any rate, it seems clear that, as in the case of Christmas, the Christian feast of Easter has superseded an old pagan festival. The popular custom of exchanging Easter eggs is of ancient origin." Supposedly, this Istra was the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility. While the Oxford Dictionary takes the leap that the Christian Easter replaced an old pagan festival, it could just be that the celebration of the resurrection took place in the spring, and that when it was introduced in Germany, it fell in the month named Istra, and thus was eventually called that. Torah Club Volume 1 points out, "Just as the month of June bears the name of the Roman goddess Juno, the month April on the Anglo-Saxon calendar bore the name of the goddess Istra." Hence, the German name for Resurrection Sunday is Ostern. The English name Easter is derived directly from it. Torah Club also adds, "In most languages, Resurrection Sunday is still called Passover, all of the names being derived from the Hebrew word Pesach, which means Passover. But in English, it is called Easter." Therefore, in summary, there does not need to be any direct correlation between a pagan festival and that of Easter. Once again, Torah Club Volume 1. but it is possible that the first missionaries to the Anglo-Saxons found those peoples celebrating a fertility festival in April that they called Istra. The name, and perhaps even some of its rites, could have been transferred to Resurrection Sunday after the Christianization of those peoples. Scholars speculate on the ancient symbol of the eggs and rabbits and how they became associated with Easter celebrations. Rabbits and eggs long served as pagan symbols of fertility. Eggs first showed up in Easter celebrations in about the 13th century, where it was said that the yolk represented Messiah's resurrection from the tomb, and they also painted them red to represent his blood. While it is possible that these were just directly borrowed from paganism, there may be another explanation for eggs. During Lent, which was a 40-day period of introspection right before Easter, much like the 40 days right before Rosh Hashanah, one would refrain from meat and eggs. Thus, when Lent was over, the eating of eggs would be a celebrated event in the church community, and this may be the origin of the association between Easter and eggs. It might not have been influenced by paganism at all. It should be noted that any connections between the Babylonian god Ishtar and Easter are completely baseless. That's a false etymology. Torah Club Volume 1 states, "Some believe that there is an etymological relationship between Ishtar and Easter. Ishtar was an ancient Semitic fertility goddess of love, war, and motherhood. The claim that the word Easter is derived from Ishtar is a false etymology. It is one of those instances in which two words sound similar, so they are assumed to have the same origin." The connections between Easter and pagan rituals are few, and for the most part speculative, especially if you eliminate the Easter bunny and eggs. And just as it is true with the egg and other Christmas traditions, Christians, or anyone else who practices Easter today, are not worshiping a fertility goddess. Once again, the association has lost its connections. The real tragedy in Easter is not the pagan associations, but rather in the further wedge it drove between Judaism and Christianity. It all but solidified the complete disassociation of the church from her Jewish roots. It is a shame that throughout the centuries most believers have not been partaking in the very meal that Yeshua told his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." Rather than focus on the elimination of Easter, it would seem far more important to encourage our fellow believers to participate each year in a Passover Seder on some level. And it is encouraging to see that there is a wider trend in Christianity of more and more churches holding such events.